morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn 61. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord. 61. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Let us pray. Glory be to you, our God, and to the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we gather for worship. Lord God, we come to worship and to approach you in prayer because of a need which we feel and acknowledge within ourselves. We bring to you, Lord, our concern about ourselves, the way we have been living, the effect we allow the world to have on us and on our way of life, the extent to which we give way to the temptations and the pressure of the world's ways of living and ways of thinking. We seek your forgiveness and your help so that in the strength which you supply, we may face and overcome the temptations and difficulties of the way, and so that we may give encouragement to others. Help us to remember that our basic need is in you, our God, and not in material things. And help us daily to give ourselves to your service, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. A hymn from Junior Praise, number 166, Morning Has Broken, 166. Thank you. God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm 67 at verse 1. Psalm 67 at verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. And in the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, at verse 13. Mark, chapter 3, verse 13. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designing them apostles, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder: Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 167, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, 167. Gospel, chapter 3, at verse 14, he appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. I have been a student more than once in my life. The first time I was a student, just leaving school and going to university, I found we had a student's songbook, songs which we sang on many occasions. One of those songs was called Green Grow the Rushes O. It was a counting song, like the 12 days of Christmas. It began with One is One and All Alone, and then it went on repeating the first line, but always after adding each new line. Two was for something, three for something else, four for the gospel makers. It was a merry song, sung at a brisk pace. But when it came to 12, it began slowly and quickened up as it went along. 12 for the 12 apostles. Slow and ponderous and dignified. I don't know how widely the song is known out with university circles, or whether it's still sung anywhere, but it has stayed with me all those years, and especially this beginning to the final verse, 12 for the 12 apostles. It's as though the song is saying to us, this is the authentic beginning. This is where it all starts from, the 12 apostles, the Christian church, now established all over the world, but beginning in a humble way in Galilee with Jesus choosing his first disciples. He called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Maybe we've always thought of Jesus' disciples as the 12 he chose. Maybe we think he didn't have any disciples until he chose those 12. But the word disciple is being used here in a wide sense, meaning one who is learning. Quite a crowd of people gathered round Jesus as he taught, so they were all learning. They were all, in a sense, his disciples. And then from them all, he chose 12. It's interesting and indeed instructive to us to read why he chose them, for what purpose he chose them, so that they would be with him. Jesus, our Lord, our Saviour, the Son of God, the pattern and example for our life, needed men to be with him. When God entered the human scene in the person of Jesus, he took upon himself the whole gamut of humanity with all its feelings and all its restrictions. He needed company. He needed people. And today in the 21st century, Jesus still needs people. It's good for us to reflect on that when we come to church Sunday by Sunday. We come to church because we need it. We need God. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. And we constantly renew and strengthen our fellowship with him and receive his strength and guidance through our worship. But it's illuminating to think that we come to worship also because he needs us. Jesus needs people. He needed his first disciples, and that's one reason why he chose them, to be with him, to provide him with company and to benefit from his company. A two-way procedure. An apostle, he called them apostles as well. A disciple is one who is learning. An apostle is one who is sent out. It's been suggested that if Jesus had been living his earthly life in a different time, if he'd been living, for instance, in our technological age, he would have been able to communicate his message to the whole world with the click of a button. But it was not so. Jesus lived his earthly life 2,000 years ago, when communication was a slower and more laborious business. It required people who would pass on the message by word of mouth, people who would travel to take the gospel to other lands. There's the whole story of the spread of the Christian gospel through the centuries. Early disciples and evangelists, persecution and martyrdom to be gone through and overcome, heroic stories, people whose names have become household words in the cause of the Christian gospel, other people who've played their part without ever becoming known outside their own little circle and environment. The whole Christian story, studded with great names and humble names and people whose names never got to be widely known at all. And it all began with Jesus choosing his men to be with him and to go out from him to take the gospel to the world. 12 for the 12 apostles indeed. Mark goes on to tell us who the apostles were, and there's something to be learned from considering those 12 men. First of all, they were ordinary men. They were not outstanding in any way. They didn't appear to excel others in any particular, not in birth or rank, not in education, authoritative position, not in special skill or influence with people. Ordinary men. And that's a clear indication for the Christian church in each succeeding generation. Jesus needs, for the work of spreading his gospel, for caring for people, for making people aware of the love and care of God, for calling people to respond to the challenge of God, for this task, Jesus needs ordinary people. Oh, he can use other people too. He can use people of noble birth, people of outstanding ability in one field or another, people of remarkable wealth. Those people too can play their part in the service of the kingdom of the King of Kings. But fundamentally, the Lord Jesus Christ has a place and a commission for those who are not particularly outstanding in any way. You and I, we have our part to play. That's a very encouraging thought. It means that every day of our life, in simple things as well as in what we might call the bigger issues, in all the situations and circumstances of daily life, there come to us opportunities. Opportunities to serve the Lord, to spread his gospel, to make people aware of God's love, the love we know supremely in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Ordinary men they were, yes, and noticeably too, they were a curious mixture. They included pairs of men we would not have expected to be included in the same group. There was Matthew, the tax collector. Tax collectors were considered as traitors to the Israelite nation because they were in a position to make their fortune at the expense of their fellow countrymen. Many of them did become very rich in that way. So they were regarded as traitors and they were hated by the people. Jesus had room in his group of disciples for one of them. Alongside Matthew in the group of disciples, there was, for example, Simon the Zealot. The Zealots were a fiercely patriotic group of people, dedicated to the Israelite cause, sworn to enmity against the Romans and against any others who might threaten the liberty and the eventual supremacy of Israel. So we have Simon the Zealot, a lifelong enemy of the Romans, and Matthew the tax gatherer, who had made his fortune through his job in the pay of the Romans, working now side by side in the group whom Jesus had chosen. At the same time, though maybe less obviously, there were Peter and John. Peter, the outspoken, sometimes blundering disciple, who made mistakes and was immediately sorry for them. John, the thoughtful disciple, who, if he didn't actually write it himself, was behind the writing of the fourth gospel, which is the work of someone who has thought and meditated on the life and the person of Jesus for a long time before coming to put it in writing. Contrasting characters. And that too tells us something about the Christian church, the way the church is meant to be. The Lord takes us all, whoever we are, different from one another in many ways, sometimes diametrically opposite from one another. The Lord takes us all, just as he took those first 12 to be the 12 apostles. He takes us to be with him, live our life with him. Being with him was what made the original disciples able for the task. Being with him not only makes us able for the service he requires of us, it makes us able to withstand the pressures of life and able to overcome its temptations. He chooses us today, as he chose them so long ago, to be with him, to provide him with company, and to benefit from being in his company, to learn constantly from him, and to communicate him to those with whom we come in contact. It is a big task, but it is also a noble calling. And as we continue in contact with him, he makes us able for it. And now to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Number 264, Judge Eternal, Throned in Splendor. 264. Let us pray. O Lord our God, We give you thanks and praise and dedicate to you our thoughts, our words, our gifts, our deeds, the working of our hands, the thinking of our minds, the loving of our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, which has brought us safely to this hour, for all the gifts of your grace coming to us daily in various ways and sustaining us through all the difficult paths of life. Most of all, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he went through temptation as we do, and that he remained without sin. For the cross he carried and the death he died, for his victory over death and sin, and the hope we have in him of the life eternal. Lord, we pray you continually to cleanse and purify your church on earth, strengthen its members, and inspire us all with the zeal to serve you in the situations in which we find ourselves. We pray for the nations of the world, that there may be peace and concord amongst them. Bless our Queen and the Royal House, and guide and help those in positions of authority and leadership. We commend to your care those who are having life hard, those going through any kind of trial. Bless those dear to our own hearts and keep them safe. We thank you, Lord, for the inspiration and example of those who have finished the course of this earthly life in your faithful service. Help us to follow them as they followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and bring us with them to the life everlasting through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Friends, some of you may already know that one of our older and most faithful members, Bobby Auld, died a few days ago, and you may be wondering about details for the funeral service. Bobby's funeral service will take place here in the church on Friday this week, Friday the 15th, at 11:15, and thereafter at Ardrossan Cemetery. And in the meantime, our thoughts and prayers are with Anne and the family. And we close this service now with hymn 551, In Heavenly Love Abiding, 551. Thank you. which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.